Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Few things can bring awkward silence over a group of people like the subject of death. Death is one of those topics that we just don't really like to talk about. It's not comfortable. For many people, it makes them very nervous. And for a lot of people, it brings back painful memories of loved ones who have passed away. The topic of death also makes us think about our own future deaths. And that can be a very frightening thing, because for many people, death is full of uncertainty. Many people have no idea what will happen to them after they die. Will they be reincarnated as an animal or as a person? Will they go to hell? Will they go to heaven? Have they done enough good things in this life to be able to get into heaven? Will they simply be buried or be cremated and then just cease to exist? For many people, these are questions without answers. So many people would simply prefer not to think about these questions at all, but only to focus on what is happening at the current moment. For all these reasons, we often prefer to use words other than death and die when we talk about that subject. We may use words like pass away or pass on so that we don't even have to say the words death or die. In Chinese culture, people are so superstitious and afraid of the subject of death that they avoid using that word altogether, and even they'll avoid using words that sound just a little bit similar to the word for death. In Chinese, the number four sounds this very similar to the word for death, and so four is considered an unlucky number. There are often buildings that don't even have a fourth floor or a 14th or 24th floor for that very reason. And phone numbers or other numbers with the word four are to be avoided if at all possible. Also in Chinese culture, the close relatives of someone who has recently died will not receive invitations to their friends or family members' weddings or birthday parties or other celebrations, because it's believed that they will bring bad luck upon those celebrations. But when someone you know has become very sick, there is simply no way to avoid thinking about death. Mary and Martha knew that the sickness of their brother Lazarus was very bad. They knew that there was nothing more that any doctors could do for him. In their minds, the only hope left for their brother was to have Jesus come and heal him. They knew Jesus as a friend. Jesus had been a guest in their home, and he had personally shared with them the good news of God's kingdom. Though they didn't specifically ask him to, they believed that Jesus could heal their brother. The message that they sent to Jesus said, "Lord, the one you love is sick." They most likely wanted Jesus to come right away and to heal their brother. Or perhaps they were thinking that Jesus could simply just heal Lazarus by his divine power, even from a long distance away, as Jesus had already done before when he healed the Roman centurion's servant who was sick. But Jesus had another plan in mind. Although Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he did not go to them right away. Nor did he heal Lazarus right away as soon as he received that message. Instead, he stayed right where he was for 2 more days. And only then did he set out on the journey to go back to Judea where those 3 siblings lived. Why would Jesus do that? If Jesus loved them, why would he wait for 2 whole more days before leaving? Why wouldn't he have gone right away as soon as he got that message that Lazarus was sick? We may often have similar questions when things don't seem to be going the right way in our lives. If you love me, God, why did you let me get cancer? you love me, God, why did you let my loved one die unexpectedly? If you love me, God, why don't you see all the struggle that I'm going through? Why don't you allow me to make enough money to pay for all of my expenses? If you love me, God, why did you let me fail that test? And on the questions can go in every situation that we find ourselves in life. Basically, what we're asking is, God, why don't you do things the way I want them to be done? But all of those questions and all of those attitudes reveal a lack of faith in the ultimate wisdom and kindness of God. Jesus tells us why he did not go to Lazarus right away when he got the message. He says in verse 4, "This sickness will not end in death." What do you mean, Jesus? We might wonder. Lazarus did die. Why would you put his two sisters and their other family members and friends through so much emotional turmoil? Why wouldn't you just heal Lazarus right away and spare them all of that heartache? But as we know from the text, Jesus permitted that sickness to take the life of Lazarus because he planned to raise Lazarus from the dead. In no way did Jesus take pleasure in the emotional turmoil and anguish of Mary and Martha and all of their many friends. But Jesus knew that this was the will of God in order to bring glory to God and to himself as the Christ, the promised Savior of the world. And so he says, "No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified in him." Human reasoning may still wonder, however, isn't that a bit selfish and egotistical? Why would you let someone else suffer so that you can be glorified? But, dear brothers and sisters, these questions are an arrogant assault on God's goodness. When we think such things, we are forgetting that the pain and suffering of this world came about by people's own sinfulness. It is not God's fault or his responsibility. And we also forget the passage in Scripture where God teaches us that with our own human understanding, there's absolutely no way that we can comprehend all of God's divine wisdom and his plans. In Isaiah chapter 55, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." However, while our loved ones are suffering, that passage may not be much of a comfort to our human understanding. But our questions begin to be answered when we hear what Jesus explains next to his disciples. At first, the disciples do not understand what Jesus means when he says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." So then Jesus tells them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe." Jesus reminds us of just what it is that brings glory to him and to God. God is glorified when people believe in Jesus as the only Savior from sin. Jesus does not have some selfish lust for glory that made him only care about himself and not care at all about others. No, he was concerned about the eternal spiritual welfare of the people around him. He knew that even his own disciples, and Mary and Martha, who already had faith in him as the Messiah, still had some doubts lingering in their minds. They still did not fully understand the salvation that Jesus came to bring. They still did not trust fully in him as their Lord and Savior. Jesus wanted to drive all of those doubts away from their minds. This explains why God permits some painful and difficult things to happen in our lives. It's not because he doesn't love us or our family members or friends. It's because God has more important things in mind than just the things of this earthly life. God's number one priority is always our eternal spiritual welfare. God knows many things that we will never be able to comprehend. If God knows that being healthy and rich or even moderately well off will prevent us from recognizing our own sin and trusting in Jesus as our Savior, then God might decide that it is best for us, for our eternal spiritual welfare, to take away some of those things, our health or our material possessions, in order to better focus our full trust on Him and His love. God's word assures us that no matter what happens in this life, whether things may appear to be good or bad by human standards, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. What God means by "for the good" is not the same as what people often think of. When people talk about things being good, they often talk about good health, plenty of money, success in our endeavors, harmonious relationships, and so on. But when God speaks of "for the good," He's thinking of anything that will bring us back from our sinful, selfish ways to rely on Him as the only source of what is truly good for us, to focus our faith on the blood of Jesus, which purifies us from all sin, which restores us to a right relationship with God, and which gives us the hope of eternal life in heaven with God beyond all sin and suffering of this world. Though Mary and Martha believed in Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, they still did not understand that Jesus' mission was a spiritual one, not a physical one. They were more concerned about their earthly relationship with their brother Lazarus than with their spiritual relationship with God through Jesus. When Martha met Jesus after her brother Lazarus had already died, she showed that she still did not fully realize who Jesus was, that He was true God, with all the power of God to wield as His own. When Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again," she did not yet understand that Jesus had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead right then and there. But then Jesus tells her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die." We may often go wrong in a similar way that Martha did. We sometimes think of Jesus as a miracle worker who will solve problems for us in this life if only we worship and trust in Him and pray to Him hard enough. But sometimes our focus becomes so short-sighted that we lose sight of the big picture of God's goal of eternal life for us. This is the reason that Jesus went to the cross to take away our sins. Jesus was not so concerned about giving us earthly blessings, but He was concerned about taking away our sins so that we might rise from the dead, just as He did, and spend eternity with Him in heaven. And to that end, Jesus doesn't say, "I provide resurrection," or "You can be resurrected through Me if only you believe." He says, "I am the resurrection." Jesus wants us to understand that He is the only source of the only thing that eternally matters for us. By His suffering and death on the cross in payment for our sins, and by His own rising from the dead, He has won the victory over death. He has given us the sure and certain promise of resurrection. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection." Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be any suffering and sadness still in this world. Just as Mary and Martha were weeping, Jesus also wept at the death of his good friend Lazarus. Physical death causes a separation of loved ones, and sadness is a natural result of that separation. But that sadness also comes with a deeper hope and joy of the promise of the resurrection and of eternal life for all who believe in Jesus, for all who believe that Jesus has forgiven them by his death on the cross. Jesus is the resurrection. What an amazing sight it must have been when Jesus called Lazarus out from the grave. As Martha said, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days, and there was already a bad odor because his body had already begun to decay. But Jesus brought Lazarus out of the tomb and removed all the effects of decay from his body. If we can imagine how amazing of a sight that must have been, and just think about how wonderful it will be on the last day when Jesus calls all the dead out of their graves and restores their bodies to them, when he gives them a perfect body that shines with heavenly glory because of Jesus. This resurrection of Lazarus in our reading for today is only a glimpse of Jesus' full power, only a glimpse of the full glory that we will see when all believers stand around the throne of God in heaven, singing his praises in their perfect resurrected bodies. Thank God for revealing to us that Jesus is the resurrection. Thank God for giving us this glimpse of the future glory of our own resurrections. Thank God, and let us live each day in thanksgiving to him, to Jesus, who is the resurrection. Amen.